must have got lost. She must have got lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, she put off the youth manager and she always said yes, ma'am. And I see her heading directly and all the way up on the wall back, and I try to go back and catch her.
Oh, no.
I called Fred and told him that would happen.
Yeah, how are you?
Hey, buddy.
Family of dialoguers, feel not bad. Do not feel bad if I cannot call on you as much as I'd like to. Around the table here, we have those who started the dialogue have been admitted as official members, that is to do the immediate talking. And that's why you see the seats here at the table so vacant. Before we begin, looking at the agenda, the minutes from the last meeting are available. The minutes is available. But not from the previous meeting. We were two behind. So we have the minutes here from March 8th. Not from the previous week yet, because of the breakdown of the machine, as you recall. So we skipped one and we'll go back and pick it up as soon as the minutes is ready. So we take 3 to 5 minutes out and look at the minutes from the last meeting and get reactions on the minutes. On the minutes at all, comments, minutes satisfactory. For those who are not familiar with it, the minutes that we read here about summaries of the official minutes. The official minutes are considered to be the tapes, and the tapes are held here in the city's office, which means that while we read the minutes for any official documentation, etc., we go back to the tapes. So these are the ones we read here are simply summaries of those official minutes. Again, before we begin, I'd like to reiterate the two rules that we should operate under. First is that individuals should not be attacked, and as much as we want to understand the issues involved, so we should be careful about our remarks. We should address them to the issues involved. If there's a person who can clarify some points on the issues, that's great. You may address yourself directly to the individual involved. But the personal attacks, we try to stay away from as a rule here. The second point is that we would like to still keep some dio in this as opposed to mono, keep some dio going, meaning a dialogue, and have many people respond to the questions or the issues involved. For announcement or two, first, last, in the minutes here, as indicated, we talked about a model cities program initiated by the city of San Diego. The Model Cities Program is an attempt through the Model Cities Program from Washington under HUD, the Housing, Urban Housing Affairs Office, Housing Urban Affairs, to revitalize certain sections of cities across the country, and we are participating in that program. So far, there has been a series of meetings with individuals from the community, community groups, meeting twice a week for the past 2 weeks, 3 weeks, to get ideas down. At this moment, those ideas are being worked out here in the office, putting together an application, a formal application, which will go to Washington to let Washington know that this city is officially applying to participate in this program. So it means that until the application is sent in, there will be no need for any more meetings presently. However, there is a need for community groups who wish to participate, and I would urge everyone to participate in the program, to have letters, send letters in of endorsement to Kimball Moore here, or to Mr. George Simpson of the Planning Department, endorsing this kind of program. That is, endorsing the idea that the city of San Diego should participate in this kind of community involvement in revitalizing certain areas. I have in front of me the letters that have gone out, as well as another document called From the Community Development Vision. And those of you who are not familiar with it and would like to get some information, you can get this by calling here, for example, to speak to Mary Thielen or to Julian Wise or to the Mr. George Simpson in the planning department. The letter that goes out from Mr. Kimball Moore starts out, and I won't read it all, by indicating that in 1966, Congress passed the Demonstration Cities and Metropolitan Development Act, establishing the Model Cities Program as a means of launching concentrated efforts to improve the quality of urban life in disadvantaged areas. The San Diego City Council, in response to this opportunity, has directed the city manager to prepare an application for a Model Cities Planning Grant. The grant will provide financial assistance in planning detail programs for social, economic, and physical revitalization in an area in southeast San Diego termed the Model Neighborhood. It goes on to indicate some of the important elements involved. Those in the community who would like to get involved can again direct your inquiries, your questions for information, for clarification, and information directly to the city manager's office or directly to the planning department, Mr. George Simpson by name. They need letters of endorsement from the groups in the community would support this kind of program. Presently, as indicated in the paper this morning, it's in the planning stage now. There's so much money to do the planning. After the application's been received and planning money has been received in this office, another series of meetings will begin in terms of planning a comprehensive attack on the neighborhood. The meetings then will be initiated again, picked up again, after this initial phase is over. We're getting to the agenda. Are there any questions that anyone wishes to ask or comment about the model neighborhood program? If not, I have one other announcement here. Get it out of the way first, because at the end of the session, we generally get tied up and don't get a chance to go through all of these. Dan.
Before you get away from the model city, I think it should be noted here that the city requested the county to participate in it, and our board went on record as supporting the program also. So.
For those who didn't hear, Mr. Dent, Board of Supervisors, has indicated that the city has requested the county to participate, and the board has at this point gone on record to support such a program.
Supply personnel who help them.
Supply personnel, assistance, technical assistance in the planning phase of it during the year of planning and so forth. I think that's very good. Getting the rest of the announcements out of the way before we look at some of the titles. I have in front of me a tentative program called the Point Loma Housing Workshop to be held at California Western University, Boney Hall, Saturday, March 30th, a week from tomorrow. Goes on to say registration is at 9 o'clock, and it goes through 1 o'clock. The purpose of this is to look at Point Loma that has military installations there, and say to the officials, both public officials and military officials, I don't have the panel of those participating here, and the way it's read here is to say to them certain things about the restrictions, whether they're written or not, the attitudes of blacks and others moving into the community. That is, the group in Point Loma, private group, will be looking at its own neighborhood in terms of racism in Point Loma. And it says, dear neighbor, the Point Loma Dialogue Group invites you to attend a housing workshop in Boney Hall, Cal Western University, at 9 o'clock. Why a workshop? There's an enclosure that they will send out with the letters indicating why the workshop at this moment. It will give some background and feel for what they're trying to accomplish through the workshop. Very simply, it is to express our deep concern with the problems resulting from racial tension. We confess that we know of no surefire action to reduce tension and eliminate problems. However, we do feel strongly that we must act. We feel we cannot go wrong in at least performing the simple act of expressing our personal concerns publicly, or taking this symbolic step toward the minority community with our hand extended in brotherhood. Our hope is that a second step will become apparent through the dialogue of the workshop. One of the men participating in this is Mr. Dennis Nelson over here. And if he has a comment, if it's very brief, we would entertain it this time.
Mr. Wayman, I think that's sufficient, but we would like to have you attend the conference. And I tell you, there's going to be a little action. We'd certainly like to have you come witness it and take part.
I should like to get where the action is. The other is that with him is a man from the Equal Opportunity Staff, Small Business Administration. And rather than wait to the last, would you want to introduce yourself now so we know who you are participating? He's your guest, I understand, Mr. Nelson.
I'm Ralph Allen, Assistant Director, Equal Opportunity Staff of Small Business Administration out of Washington.
Glad to have you here, Miss Allen.
It's nice to be here. The weather's fine.
Now to the agenda. I see some hands already. Tom.
Carol, before getting into...
Hold on just a minute, please. Agenda, I recognize Tom.
Yes, before going into the agenda, I've been authorized to make a statement on behalf of dialogue participants representing the minority race point of view. It should be noted, however, that not all minority race participants participated in the statement, substantially all. And before making a statement, we also want to take note of the fact that there have been rumors and speculation of an ultimatum and subsequent walkout. And this is to say that we have no ultimatums and walkouts in our plan. But the statement will be a condensed assessment of our current view of the dialogue and some tangible things that we feel should come from them if they are to have any future integrity. In the news report covering the last dialogue we had, quoted a city official as saying, and I quote, "I think you minorities have talked to us enough about how lousy we are. Now what can we do about it?" And that remark followed comments charging non-recognition of white racism as a frame of reference from which to shape action in tackling the race problem. In connection with our statement, we recognize that there are some signs public officials individually are getting the message on racism. However, we see no signs that that message of racism is being translated into public practice. In the newspapers and on TV, we see, hear, and read statements by public officials where they're speaking and acting in ways that denies that racism exists in San Diego. And many statements, and these can be documented, and these public officials can be named. Statements that actually shields and reinforces the ignorance of the general public on the question of racism. We also feel that there are some public officials who, in fact, are catering to the prejudices of the general public. And we think we can document this. We've looked for evidence that public officials recognize past and present racism makes traditional approaches to this question unworkable. We don't find any, in spite of almost a year of dialoguing on the subject. Frankly, we've been waiting for elected officials to take the lead in the ways that are prudent to them. But if we're asked to give direction, we can suggest a few things. And among them are the things that we're going to list here this morning, things that we now feel are necessary for the, if the dialogues are to have any future integrity. One, we think there should be official pronouncements from the City Council, the County Board of Supervisors, and the San Diego City and County Boards of Education on the validity of white racism as the fundamental problem in San Diego City and County in respect to solving racial problems. We believe no start on the elimination of racism, no honest start on the elimination of racism, can begin from a framework of attempting to shield the fact of its existence from those who support and maintain it. Two, local governmental declaration that traditional employment testing criteria are invalid with minority race applicants due to established educational disadvantages to them inherent in the educational system of racism. 3. Place Southeast San Diego schools under ghetto rule so that the scope, content, and method for teaching minority race students may be freed from those who administer them from a racist frame of reference. We feel it's impossible for minority race students to receive, quote, quality, unquote, education under administration of those who accept the normalcy of racial segregation. 4. School board action in the interim, pending the creation of some sort of control over content of Southeast of education, to place minority race principals and Southeast schools in accordance with the school's predominant ethnic composition. 5. Redraw councilmanic districts and elect councilmen and school boards by district rather than citywide to ensure to minority race people the power to choose their elected representatives. We feel our districts were gerrymandered a couple of 3 years ago to disenfranchise us. 6. Enact a city open housing ordinance with its language rooted in identification of racism as creating the primary need. 7. Place black and brown people on the Charter Review Committee and that the city use its offices to prevail on business to allow minority race job holders participatory time to participate fully. 8. That the city of San Diego use its offices to secure a regularly scheduled forum from major communications media for minority race people to articulate the examples and symptoms of racism in San Diego that appears in the papers and on television stations daily. In short, what we are seeking is to raise the question of racism, not discrimination, not segregation, not racial tension, but the question of racism to the level, to crystallize it at the level of public debate among the total citizenry of San Diego, and get through this traumatic experience of being afraid of this word so that we can get started on something worthwhile. That's the end of the statement.
Thank you. Frank? Carol, several of us in the Mexican-American community met last night, and again, we too began to try to rearticulate the goals and the objectives that set forth at the beginning of these dialogues over a year ago. And I think that Mr. Johnson has put it quite well and has placed the overall feelings of the dialogues in the proper perspective, and that is racism. I think that several of us have come up with points that we feel have not been acted upon. I think that the dialogues have served not as in terms of an action group, but in terms of solely a dialogue group. And that the purpose of the dialogue to affect and implement change has not been carried through. That the consensus that these people that are involved can implement change, can implement action to take part in solving some of these problems. We've come up with 4 points which we feel are very important, and we will leave them here today. The most important, I think, in taking them in order is in the area of education. The county and city schools must change their overt and subtle discriminatory practices as evidenced in the lack of Spanish-speaking visiting teachers, counselors, and teachers. Promotion of Spanish-speaking teachers to positions in administration, recognition of the wealth of the Mexican-American heritage by teaching accurate historical events, recognition that existing psychological instruments are inadequate to give a valid evaluation of Mexican-American children with cultural and language difficulties. Overt racism, discrimination by ignoring the educational plight of our community and thus encouraging the highest dropout rate of any other ethnic group in the entire country. Two, we need Mexican-American representation in the Civil Service Board. We need a reevaluation of the civil service procedures and testing and hiring as they apply to all county and city departments and as they affect the Mexican-American. We need Spanish-speaking personnel in all levels of the Department of Employment. We can communicate the various programs and benefits of our community. These points have been brought up time and time again at the dialogues. Funding of agencies giving preventive and protective services to Mexican-American youngsters to prevent contact with the police department under circumstances of violation of accepted existing laws. I also feel we reached a consensus that we believe that if the Mexican-American is going to continue to participate in these dialogues, we must be able to take part in the agenda committee and have sufficient time to consult and communicate and coordinate our efforts in the Mexican-American community so that we can make at least our demands and at least try to work with the city officials who are here at this dialogue to implement change or talk in terms of action. I think that word has been used several times this morning, action. And I think that we're all aware that we've had probably no action from the demands that have been made thus far in the dialogue.
I just want to reinforce the Frank Stein's statement. I think that the members of Mixed American organizations that are present here have come to a consensus about the need to clarify the goals and purposes of the dialogue. And I think we felt very strongly that if one of the goals of the dialogue is to change the frame of reference or to create some kind of self-insight, then I think that we're losing out tremendously, because I can wait here till doomsday to change somebody's self-insight, to change someone's frame of reference. I think the consensus was that we want specific action in the area that Frank has already stated. And by actions, we mean that something has to be done immediately after we present the problem. And Frank mentioned a few of them, and I have two more to add. And that is that the green card issue be perceived as harassment to all Mexican Americans in San Diego County, harassment to legal immigrants. Not green card workers, these people are legal immigrants. And that some action should be taken to stop this harassment. This is the highest order of harassment, because it chops down the foundation of acceptance of all Mexican Americans that are coming into this country to participate and to do their part to make this country what it is. But in terms of action, this is one of the things that should be done. And this should include the County Board of Supervisors, the Office of the District Attorney, the Department of Public Health should participate also, and that these agencies should stop the discriminatory and punitive prosecutorial manner towards Mexican immigrants, overlooking the fact of rights guaranteed in this country to all immigrants. That is one area that should be focused on affirmative action. The second one, which is not as broad perhaps, but just as important, is that definite recreational centers should be established in areas such as San Ysidro, which has nothing for these youngsters, and in Otay, which also has nothing, and in other areas predominantly populated by minority groups. So then I just want to reiterate then that we feel very strongly that this should be an action-oriented meeting, and that it's going to be to create self-insight, then we can wait here till doomsday. And I also wish to request that there be a recess. This is to be a recess until something can be done to reevaluate the goals of these meetings.
Chairman?
George?
Just one comment before a second on that. There was one of the things that the group had discussed is in connection with Mr. Johnson, which was slightly omitted. And that was also, which I'm sure that the black people and brown people would be in accord with here, is that it is a necessity and it is a request that the San Diego Police Department finds a way, by whatever means necessary, to have two black sergeants on the police force, two black lieutenants on the police force, and one black inspector on the police force, and that these be added to the demands originally made.
Could you repeat that, please? Two black sergeants?
Two black sergeants, two black police lieutenants, and one black inspector.
I think we could at this point
some problems too, Mr. Chairman, and of course. I couldn't name sergeants because they have two. I second first motion, Mr. Chairman, that we adjourn until such time that the committee here has decided upon some way that they can react to the demands that were made this morning by the dialogues. This time I'd like to ask the black and brown people both to adjourn and recess until such time as you have a chance to discuss this.
Is that what you were saying, Bert? That you would recess now until the...
Got a motion, Mr. Chairman. You have a motion, Mr. Chairman.
Asking him, was that a motion?
I don't know. Somebody second.
I second a recommendation, Mr. Chairman. No need for a motion.
It's not an official body.
All right, move and get out of the dialogue, Mr. Chairman.
Would those in the back?
Mr. Chairman, I want a clarification. I'm not clear on what we're doing now. What happened here? Were we acting on a suggestion or a motion? What are we doing?
No motion.
Oh, well, then.
Okay, this group of people got up and left.
I call for the order of the day, Mr. Chairman, the agenda.
I make a motion that item 4 be moved to the top of the agenda for first consideration.
We do hear a motion that item 4 be moved to the top of the agenda, and so we now address ourselves to the agenda. Number 4 be moved to the top of the agenda.
Lost for a second. Mr. Chairman,
no, he did second.
Oh.
Would you? He did second it. Any objection to moving it to the top of the agenda?
Yeah, not an objection, Mr. Chairman. We have been going to this thing for almost a year, and we run into this type of thing every time, practically every other meeting we have. There's no point in formulating an agenda if you're going to come in and start taking things off the cuff, like anybody. I mean, whatever way a person is moved, he jump up and start the meeting. And I don't want to level this as an indictment against the chair. There's no point then formulating an agenda if you're not going to follow the agenda. And we can't ever get to anything that is important. We only have 4 items on the agenda, actually. And I think all the statements that were made, this agenda is pertinent to what was stated. If we would ever go into the thing and start talking about it in an intelligent manner. You can't do anything on the emotional upheaval. When you get through, you're still where you started. So I'd like to offer something that we follow the agenda seriatim. Whatever that means.
Well, we have, yes.
I would just like to go on the record as concurring with Rick, Reverend Marks' statement. If we are not going to follow an agenda, why prepare one?
All right, we have any other comments?
Well, I'd like to remark, I don't think the chair can be indicted because someone made a motion here.
Well, let them have the floor. The agenda is to permit you to the floor. This thing started before the agenda was ever made. And it's simply out of order. The meeting's officially called. The agenda is the only thing that's before you.
Any other objections to the motion? Those who wish to move item number 4 to the top of the agenda, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Those who wish oppose it?
Aye.
It will say it as it is. First report is progress report on civil service examination, Mayor Frank Kern. I do not see the mayor in the room. May I ask from the staff member who attends the agenda committee, was the Frank Kern notified?
No.
Is there any report from those from the city manager's office? Julian, can you comment on that?
Carol, the mayor is ill today. The president of the city's civil service commission, Mrs. Mildred Perry Wade, is here and is prepared to make some comments on this agenda item.
All right. Mrs. Wade?
I can tell you what our group is doing. Our civil service staff are revising tests, going through all the tests that we give at the moment. We have started revising a policy which we had for some years of looking at every city employee who came to work for us as a potential city manager, so to speak. We feel now that there are many simplifications we can make in entrance tests which will help us to get more people onto city payrolls, and then it will be up to them and their own desires as to whether they're able to take promotional examinations. So we are doing a complete revision of any test that we have given in the last 5 years, and this is in process now with our staff. We also have been doing some in-service training and meetings of our staff interviewers along this line of being sure that they're is no racial bias as far as the interviewing is concerned, as far as our staff members are concerned. We do use outside people on interviews sometimes, and some of your groups have participated in this. I think that's the only statement I have this morning.
Mike?
Ms. Wade, can I ask a question? In your board, do you have any Mexican-Americans in your board that check the listing for civil service exams and all that?
What do you mean?
Like this, the reviewing board, you know, when they come up there to get the...
We use about 250 to 300 citizens during the year. Now, I'd have to look at the list there with you to see if there are...
But do you recall of having any of them in there? Of Mexican-Americans in there?
I can't recall one way or the other because the staff handles this, as I say, I'd have to look at the list.
You have a comment on that, Joe?
Yeah, that you have filled up Campbell on the done the oral work.
Okay.
So have I.
You're Mexican American.
Seeing that they get the job. That's what I'm talking.
No, that's just on the oral board. Oral, if you like. That's all.
Oral interview board.
Oral interview board.
That's what you were talking about, Mike. Where they
on both oral and the exam.
Right.
Oh, well, now I pass.
Now, Mr. Chairman, on this, I think what gave rise to this is that an inquiry was made concerning the acceptance of various applicants. Now, this is, I mean, we haven't heard what this group under the mayor is doing. He's supposed to have appointed a committee to study these things to see the reason for the discrepancies or not, but someone intimated one day here that a lot of minorities passed the examinations, but they were calling, we know what that is, it's a political football that you use, and if you're not in certain political arenas, then you move down to the list that you are represented by, and we understand that. But I thought that it was something wrong with the civil service exam that stopped people from passing, which we thought if that the man was to make a report, he said he had a committee. The lady made the same report, I mean, same observation last time, and for public information, what can we get to give to the people that are concerned about this some measure of rest in this thing? Of course, it's going to have unrest both in the black community and the Mexican American community, because they want to know why you can't have, and I say this repeatedly, why you can't have it. If the man is sincere about this thing, he can find a black or a Mexican American receptionist and put out there and answer a telephone to say that the man is out or he's in. It's about all there is to it. There's nothing else much to it. No particulars you have to do to sit out there in the office. And I think they can dress as well as anybody else to get out there and present themselves. This is what I'm saying. If we're going to be sincere about this thing, I think that's what these gentlemen were saying here this morning. If we're going to be sincere about this thing, then start here at the seat of power with it. Show some measure of good faith. Well, you mean it or not? A lot of things I take, I don't want to take, but I take them because I'm a part of American democracy. And nothing I can do about it. And this is what we ought to do here. And I think this is not a report. And the man should have sent a report in here because I think Mr. Kent, or Constitute by someone, made a general observation and brought in statistics about this thing in reply to what we had stated. And now here we come again after 6 weeks, and the man still is not ready to make a report on this thing.
May I just add that before I recognize Mike Johnson here and provide the dent here, that seems to me we are in a bag each time because we have two things going, really. Mrs. Wade gives good reports from chairman of the Civil Service Commission and so forth, but the issue itself was that the item number one refers to a commitment by the mayor, as just indicated, that he would appoint a committee rather immediately, as he said, to do certain things. And I think that basically is what Reverend Autry is addressing himself to. Secondly, at that same meeting, as you recall, Mrs. Waite did indicate that in this instance in the city of San Diego, as opposed to other cities, many minorities did pass the examination, but were stopped or not chosen later. It was to that point then that the questions were directed to the mayor in terms of city department heads and others. And he said he would look into this and report back to us. So while Mrs. Wade has given her a good report, there's the other side that we still don't have anything yet on. And I was wondering about that also.
Well, I just want to make one observation in view of what the Reverend said, that in this building, the Civil Service Department has four minority group employees. One an analyst, one a trainee, one a receptionist, and one a clerical worker. And we feel we practice what we preach.
That's within your department itself.
Yes.
She is now responding to that other question.
Oh,
her
yeah.
department.
We have about 20 floors or so in this
area. All right, let me, before I recognize Mike Johnson again, let me go back to the response by the mayor to put this in proper perspective. On page 8 of the minutes, today's minutes, the chairman then asked Mayor Kern to respond to item 1, that is, current status of the committee to be formed by the mayor. Page 8 I'm reading from. One, two, well, you see that paragraph, the chair then asked, to investigate the total city service arena. The mayor reported his intentions of working together with Supervisor Dent's committee studying county procedures. One committee can do the entire job, as this report is by the mayor.
Yeah, but see, Mr. Chairman, this is an evasive statement. The city has nothing to do with the county. But they're not hiring the people through the county and send them to the city. Or vice versa.
All right, let's get some other math.
General, actually, I was just going to call attention to the thing that you just mention on page 8. And out of order, I need to make another statement here that that refers to the statement from the group that left. It ought to be clear that some of us who remained here didn't remain because we were out of sympathy with what they were doing.
That's true.
Personally, I have been assigned through my job to attend these, and so I remain because it is my assignment. But I do want to say that until this group begins to approach the problems the way that Tom Johnson suggested, we're just wasting time. Now, you can't go back and do anything about employment in here by going and telling us about the examination. You have to almost do just as Bobby Kennedy did when he went to the Department of Justice to say, look, I want to see some of them in there. It's almost like that. Because the system is so complex that you can manipulate it out of heaven. And people can pass those written examinations and come up for the interview. I've known cases where it's come up almost a dozen times and never get the job. But it can always be explained.
And those are my same sentiments, Mr. McCunty.
Yes.
I'm Mrs. Brown. I've been concerned with the number of Negroes employed, and when will the city be prepared to release to the public the number of Negroes employed by job titles? You know, like we have some sitting down here in office spaces or something. This means nothing to the little grassroots people that I, for the past 18 years, I've been asking about. I checked with the FEPC when I was running for city council to try to find an up-to-date report as to the number of Negroes hired by the city of San Diego in job categories. We have quite a few working for the sanitation department, but where are they? Are they all on trucks? Where? And what job level are these people working? How many do we have? I understand that this information cannot be released to the public, that the city has sent over facts and figures to the FEPC, and it may be months before these figures are available to the public. And since Ms. Wake is there, I would like to ask her, when will these little these figures that would be of interest to the little man that I'm primarily interested in? I'm not concerned with the analysts, our engineers, and things of this type. We don't have too many people in our race prepared to take these jobs. These people can get these jobs on their own. The little man, where are our little people with the city? Are they all working in the sanitation department, the water department, as pickup men, or what have you? When will this be
available? May I, before she answers, I think your question is a good one, but I think it's directed to the wrong person. I think it should be directed this way, and I'm sure Mr. Butler can shed light on that.
He can
answer you.
We got to get lawyers. So, I'm glad to answer your question. Some weeks ago, Reverend Kent from Asbury Methodist Church came in to see me to explain the reasons why a number of people were trooping around City Hall counting heads.
Yes, I don't think this is necessary because you do have the figures, don't you?
It was then brought to my attention that somebody had taken a legal position to the effect that the city could not disclose the pattern of racial employment within the city.
Well, this is what I was told when I was running for
yes,
council.
Yes, we were told that too. We then looked into the matter and gave an opinion to the city civil service commission and the city manager to the effect that the city may maintain records showing patterns of race in the employment by the city to the end that you can make a determination on the after the fact employment. Stated simply that if there is discrimination being practiced in city employment, that discrimination ought to be evidenced by the pattern of employment. And we have now given the opinion to the civil service people that if they have any records on this, they are public records and available to be looked at. If they don't have any records, then under the law they may make such records. Always keeping in mind that you can't use the records for the purpose of discriminating on account of race, color, creed, or national origin. So, answering your question specifically, if there is an FEPC headcount report showing patterns by departments of ethnic groups in employment, that record is a public record and may be looked at by the public. If no such record has been kept,
then it's entirely appropriate for the city to keep such records. Such records, upon being kept, will be available. Keeping always in mind that you can't, on any employment application, have any question or ask anything about race or color or creed, but in the post-employment thing, when the guy's already at work, sure you can. Because how else can you determine whether or not the statement of non-discrimination is in fact being followed?
So
now this is a positive, constructive step, I think, has come out of the dialogue.
I think the other part of the question is, when will they be, and maybe I can answer this, when will they be available? The FEPC has sent them to their office in San Francisco for putting into publication. Exactly when they'll be ready, I don't know. We too are rather impatient about getting them back. No one seems to know. Grace Ridoff here, who heads the, do you know now? Yes. Grace Ridoff, who heads the FEPC, has sent them and has sent us a letter that she has sent them. Now it's out of her hands and the way the machine
works. I'm really concerned with these figures were probably from 1960, but this booklet states that under an agreement with the city, the FEPC was supposed to keep close tab on the city, and every 6 months reports were supposed to be issued. And from 1960 until I was running for city council in 1967, there were no other figures.
Well, we have other figures, and the reports that we're referring to from FEPC are not the 1960 figures only. They are much later than 1960.
Well, what happened between 1960 to 1967 that I couldn't get any reports later than 1960?
I cannot answer that.
Well, see, this is where we are lagging behind.
Well, this is one of the things we are struggling with. That's one of the things we're talking about here. The other part of your question, the other part of your question, though, has still not been answered. On the basis of the report that the city attorney just rendered, it means that we do not necessarily have to go to FEPC to get those figures. You see, that's what he's saying. So your question may be then further stated, how may then you get those figures now, based upon the opinion? That's another kind of question, and that's what you're really asking.
The answer to that is, we make an annual headcount survey, and the most recent one was made last July, this past July. We will make another one next July. This is in cooperation with FEPC. These figures have been submitted to FEPC, and based on Mr. Butler's opinion, next Tuesday we will be distributing a copy of our survey of last July to the City Council and to the media.
Then you may have those figures as of next Tuesday.
That's correct.
Ms. Cannon.
I agree, my observation isn't necessary then, but it did seem to me that from the discussion after Mr. Butler's legal opinion, there would be absolutely no reason why the information couldn't be brought together and released to the public, which is all anybody is interested in. On that basis, then, I think the city and the public has some valid information about what the employment situation is. Up until now, it's been all speculation, and if there's going to be any change, it has to be based upon some information that gives us a complete picture of whether there is discrimination in fact as far as hiring practices are concerned.
So Julian just answered that it will be
right.
Please,
Mr. Chairman. Looking around the room here, you observe that actually we have no dialogue. Mexican Americans representing the dialogue, the Negro participants, other than the staff members of the CIC, Reverend Oxley and I, that represents the Ministerial Alliance, and Dr. Matt Johnson, that is here on assignment. Actually, we are discussing something here that actually isn't a dialogue. And it would seem to me that this is the basis, or should be the basis of our discussion. At this point, where do we go from here? Who are we talking to? And if if this is official dialogue, then it would seem to me we could get this same information from the city council and the board of supervisors, who have full representation here. And I asked the question last week for this specific purpose, if San Diego is a racist community. And what seemed to me, this is where we should be addressing our questions and spending our energies, trying to find out where we are. If this is not a racist community, then of course we should approach this in an entirely different way. If it is a racist community, then it would require an entirely different approach.
I think we're still raising the same question that Max Junkins alluded to, the group that left this morning, we're what's talking about. It comes up, I can see that it's going to come up under the first three items even before we get to number four.
Yes.
So,
also, Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I want to include that I am entire sympathy with those that walked out, and I stayed only because as a member of the board of directors and executive committee of CIC and concerned about its effectiveness, I stayed to make observations.
All right. Reverend Chavis is raising that same question again. And if we want to follow the agenda item, let's move on and get to it and have all expressions on it when we get to number four.
Can I have a word
yes.
before we move on? I tried to get my hand up. I'm concerned in the dialogue that when some constructive steps have been taken, such as Mrs. Waits has shown here, that we don't check it off and say, well, this is a step. Matter of fact, our dialogue is headed towards that all the time, towards getting proper hiring and so on and so forth. Now we get a report coming in showing that they're taking the proper steps to get this job done, and yet we don't want to recognize it. Now, this is the thing that disturbs me. And I think we ought to recognize the positive part of this program rather than to dwell on the negative all the time. I think the city has made tremendous steps in the direction. Now, you can't fire civil service employees and say, well, you get out, we're going to put somebody else in tomorrow on your job. You've got to wait until there's a job open, they pass the examination. This is a time-consuming thing before you begin to see the results that we're aiming towards. And this is the thing, the only thing that I wanted to say, when something is shown that they are doing and have done and are carrying out the thing that we've been working for, let's give them a little credit for it and just tearing them to pieces on the thing.
I think we'll get back to that then again on number four. It's
okay.
A good observation, but I think we can get to it again in number four. Can we stick now to the agenda item number one? The feelings are still strong, you see. For every speaker, we're still back to number four. But can we look at number one? Glenn, any other comments on item number one?
Yes, there's another part of this picture that frequently is not seen or recognized in the minority community.
Can I ask, Mr. Chairman, may I ask you to speak a little louder?
I'm sorry. There's another part related to this hiring practices that frequently is not seen, especially by a number of people in the minority community. Now, I'm with the San Diego County Welfare Department, have the district office in Southeast San Diego, which employs about 190 social workers specifically geared to Southeast San Diego. People talk to me about why don't you have more minority group social workers? Why don't you have more Negro social workers? Why don't you have more Mexican Americans? At the present time, the qualifications require a college education. I go out, I talk to a lot of these people who meet the qualifications, who could take the examinations and qualify. They say, no, that's part of the establishment, that's part of the bureaucracy. We don't want to come to work for the establishment. We want to work for change. Now, it seems to me, if some of these people who do meet the qualifications as they are set at the present time would be more receptive to getting into the establishment, we can work for some change within as well as change from without. But if they don't come in and apply for the job, if they're not willing to accept the employment, we can't hire them.
I think then that I would like to add a comment. I think what you're saying is still describing the problem that has been articulated here for many, many months now. The implication, Glenn, might be that it is still their fault or something without taking, and it may be for that matter, but I think the whole problem has been better articulated than I will ever be able to say it. Namely that if they perceive the establishment, even if they have degrees, as that way, then we indeed do have a problem. For ultimately, these individuals have gone through the system, they have degrees, they have friends who are in the system, who are social workers, they have professional training, they have quite a high level of sophisticated expertise. If this is so then, it would seem to me some way has to be found to find out why they still have those opinions. And I think others might want to speak to that point.
In relation to this, though, what I'm saying is if we have these problems, if we have these hang-ups, let's have more of these people be willing to get in the boat with us to head towards the objectives that we're all concerned about.
Well, my point was you've got to go one step back of that. That's Chapter 10, we'd say. The other thing is we have to get back to Chapter 1. They will not get on the establishment boat until these other things are at least addressed to. That's what the group was also talking about this morning. You've got to start, if there's a problem, with raising questions of what is the problem? And it's ugly sometimes, but until we stop and say what the problem is, specifically in that instance, and then address ourselves to that particular problem, we'll never solve it.
Carol, I'd like to respond to that in a different way. In the Department of Public Welfare, there are jobs, social work jobs, which require the bachelor's degree. There are an awful lot of jobs that can be done by people who don't need a BA in order to carry out social service functions. The Economic Opportunity Commission is now working with the Leadership Training Program to develop 50 new jobs. We call them new career jobs, and we're going to have to go to public departments such as the Welfare Department, the Health Department, the Probation Department, and ask them to provide training facilities and supervision and define jobs within the department that can be handled by people who don't have bachelor's degrees. And we all know that this can be done. At that point, we will need the assistance of the Civil Service Commission and the Boards of Supervisors and the directors of these departments. And this does provide an opportunity for a lot of people to get into the establishment. And I know many, many people who would, black people, Mexican-American people, who are just eager for an opportunity to prove themselves. They're in our programs. We want to transfer them and make room for new people. So that there are these opportunities, and the person with a bachelor's degree has many more kinds of competitive advantages than people who haven't reached that stage. And most of the people we're talking about don't have BAs.
I would agree with everything you say there, Jack, but the problem is that we are continuously accused of not giving qualified people opportunities at the top. I agree that there are many things in our agency that can very adequately be done with people less than bachelor's degrees. But at the same time, we had a request, a demand, or whatever it was this morning, that two black sergeants, two black lieutenants, and a black inspector be added. Now, these are higher level positions.
Well, I heard nothing that referred to the welfare department.
That's right. But what I'm saying here is we are talking now about some jobs that are not at the bottom of the ladder. And we would like to get people involved. We have the lower classification jobs, and we have many minority groups of people employed there.
Well, I'm sure everyone will help spread the word. I will.
But I think we're going to get in a bag again earlier. If we don't keep in focus where we're going, we've gone over all these points, and one of the complaints is that while many minorities are at the bottom, these departments have existed for years, and they're not at the top. And maybe sitting down with minorities and addressing ourselves directly to that point may be another way of looking at that total bottom-to-top complex. put a hand over here, and then over here, and then over here, and I see two over here.
Well, my name is Howard Bishevsky, and I'm not affiliated with any organization. I'm just a new attorney in the community, and I think that the statement by this gentleman here, sorry, I forgot your name.
Glenn Copeland.
Indicates a passive attitude on the part of government. I think one of the problems getting qualified people is that government hasn't been willing to follow in the steps of some of the aggressive private employers and leave its community and take the initiative and go to Tougaloo College and go to Morgan State College and go to Howard University and get qualified Negro people to work in top positions. If these government employers sincerely want qualified minority group people, they're available by the hundreds and the thousands in different parts of the country. Now, San Diego is probably the nicest place in the whole country, if not the whole world, in order to live and raise a family. And it would seem that if government was sincerely interested in getting qualified people, even at the higher echelons, they could go back perhaps to the Negro colleges and interview with those colleges, and they'd probably find that their coffers would run over. Now, it's been fairly obvious to me that at the higher echelons in government here, that there aren't enough Negroes employed. For example, in the city attorney's office with approximately 30 deputy city attorneys, I don't think there's one Negro deputy city attorney. In the district attorney's office with approximately 50 deputy district attorneys, I don't think there's one Negro deputy district attorney. In the United States attorney's office, I think they have approximately 10 assistants. There's not one Negro assistant United States attorney. Now, there's something seriously wrong with the hiring and promotion policies. Either it's too passive or it's racist. That's resulting in this type of employment patterns, and I think government is to blame for being too passive, for complaining about the quality of people that have been coming to them and not taking the initiative and positively recruiting in minority areas throughout other parts of the country for qualified people. Thank you.
Rosemary?
Well, here, I'd like to suggest that we really all seem to be trying to get down to number four. And since that motion was defeated before the floor, if we could take one, two, and three and just simply get the report as it relates to that without a lot of dialogue about it, and other comments, that we can get down to number four, because after we finish with number three, if we don't get to number four until 10 of 12, we have not really accomplished what should be the main purpose, I think, before the group today, to satisfy this request in the seating that we have seen evident before the group today.
All right. Donna, after young lady over here.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'd like to say that I don't know if this has been talked about in here before,
It possibly has.
I'm Karen Nyman. I'm from the People's Freedom Party. And the whole idea of just trying to hire Negroes is not going to solve any problems. What you have to do is get rid of the whole white attitude of paternalism and the idea that the closer the black man gets to the white man or the white establishment, the better he is. And, you know, until we get that, we have to go back, as he says, to stage one, where the black man does his own thing and develops his own community, has his own ghetto schools, has his own teachers, and has a little pride in himself, and then maybe we can get together on an equal basis. And I'd like to read what Core said in New York. This is from the LA Times.
Just said, Carol, could I call it, maybe this is out of order, that we could see if we could move on to the agenda item.
Well, this is just one, two, three.
Well, if you were getting back to number four.
This has to do with...
I would hold...
Disgusted by a year of bitter debility.
Well, hold it just a minute, please. You have your chance. But let's follow here and get through with number one. And then if we get to number four, and I recognize that in spite of the fact that we have number one, two, and three, we're all really talking about number four. So let's keep it first within number one, two, three, and come back before we get back to you. We'll get back to you. We'll get back to you.
I regret to say that I'm not sure whether this is number one, two, or three. Reading it won't help me. I just don't want Mr. Copeland's remarks to go by without adding something else that, again, I have to apologize for, because this is in dialogue and not strictly in action. I think we're back at perceptions. I agree entirely with what the counselor in the New one in our community has said about the employment. But the Department of Public Welfare has an added complication to it, I think. Which
this is, again, a matter of perception, which we shouldn't lose sight of. Things can be done in relation to city employment and so forth, and I have no question about the sincerity of the Department of Welfare in terms of being willing to employ qualified or sub-qualified people. However, I think there's something that is added into this in view of the fact that the Department of Welfare, apart from locally, is hedged about with certain kinds of strict legal guidelines and interpretations. I say this to say that my guess would be that there are a good many people in the community, white, brown, and black, who don't want to work for the welfare department, not solely because establishment means to them that there have been discriminatory problems prior to this in relation to employment, but because they have strong feelings about the kinds of services that are delivered to the clientele, in other words, really, about the philosophy of the welfare program. Now, I'm not raising this to suggest that we can resolve this problem here. I'm raising it only to say that when we test these things out in terms of racism, we have also to understand that some of these kinds of things carry a kind of objection on the part of some of the minority and some white people in relation to the philosophy of service, which is apparently, which to them appears to be institutionalized in whatever the institution is.
All right. Supervisor Dent, did you want to come in here later?
Well, I don't know whether I want to come in here. I think I do. Getting back to hiring again, I had occasion to go to our marshal's office, and there isn't one black person deputy marshal anyplace. I questioned the marshal about it, and he says, in the years I've been here, I've only had one black person that I could hire. There's only been one who has been passed the examination for me to hire, and that was just about a month ago.
2 months.
2 months was
3 months.
You're familiar with it.
Yes.
Anyway, I could go through his department and criticize him very severely for the fact that there isn't a black deputy marshal on his office, but he's only had one chance to hire one. We may find that this is true through many departments. We intend to find out. And they have lowered their standards from a college education down to a high school education. And we have a deputy sheriff coming up examination. We have some 300 applications. We only have 4 black applications in there. And I talked to civil service about it, and they're real concerned. They called Johnny Johnson and the NAACP and whatever it is, and probably called you, saying we want to see more black people down here taking this examination. And yet we've only got 4. Now why? These are the points that something you've got to consider.
But the committee that you have reported is being formed there, and I think this is getting back to what has been done. Those of you who have been here have heard the supervisor's report on the last 3 meetings, I suppose it is, and we agree that they are good steps being taken by the county in this regard. We're working with them to try to have them understand, for example, the problems that you've mentioned, having them meet with many minority groups, persons. I've met with the marshal's office. He's to meet with some others in the community right away. It is not quite accurate, and I won't get into the debate. You are not involved directly there. But there have been other occasions that we are helping them understand. If they had been aware of certain things, might have at this time changed that situation over the years. Hand over here first.
I think the thing has already been said. It's this recruitment. And we've reached a point in our own denomination where some of us are going to our annual conference with a resolution that the bishop look at the appointments of every department head who has not at least laid plans for integrating this program by 1969 and cutting off their budget if they don't. Now, I think the city council, the board of supervisors, will look at these departments, they're going to be white departments now, and let them know that they're going to cut their heads off in 12 months or sever their employment in 12 months if something isn't done, then something would be done. But as long as we talk, nothing's going to happen.
I'm going to have to cut debate on this one here in order to get to number 2, number 3, after 2 more comments.
I don't have a comment, Mr. Chairman. I have a
a motion in the absence of the report from the mayor on number one, that it, I move that it become the first item of business on the at our next meeting, number one.
Second motion. Any seconds to that?
I second.
Right. Been moved and seconded that item number one, in the absence of the mayor present to give an official report specifically on one, that we move it to become the next item, first item on the next agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? We'll move on to number two, progress report on meetings at the Clean Post and Community Relations, Lieutenant Davis. I might give one background statement or two regarding this. Between the last dialogue and now, as I understand it, on the questions raised here the last time regarding the team post, there have been many questions raised with regards to sitting down with Lieutenant Davis, the new director of the Community Relations Division, to meet with the members of the team post to begin working out the problems that are obvious there. For those who were not here, it is a hot issue. It's been, it's still a big debate in the community. Lieutenant Davis, do you wish to make, and I'll get back to Reverend Chase.
I think I can make this pretty short, Carol. First of all, I think that I owe it to everyone here a factual report on an issue like this. And in order to give a factual report, there has to be a certain amount of background work done and perhaps investigation and notes taken. I found out that I was to make this report when I sat at this table today. So I find it very difficult to give a good report at this time. I will say that I have met with Mr. Bob Richards, who is the director of self-help for leadership training, and he indicates to me that several things are being done. And notable, first of all, is that there has been some money, not funded, but brought into the leadership training for the team post out of the community. I think this will go a long ways to doing something positive at the team post. I have met with Mr. Heiser. I met with Bob Richards. I don't think that we have done anything more than we did 2 weeks ago at the last city community dialogue. However,
Mr. Chairman, let me interrupt here. I think we've got a real problem with procedure of the agenda committee for people to sit at this table and learn they're on the agenda for the first time is highly improper, and I think the agenda committee should be directed by the chair to make sure that these people are notified well in advance that they are going to be on the agenda. You just had confirmation about 10 minutes ago that the mayor of the city was not notified that he is on the agenda. I think this is improper, and I think we should move on to another item until the lieutenant has an opportunity to prepare a report.
How do you feel about that, Lieutenant Davis? It's not the investigation and all of that. I just had a note here that staff did not meet with the now existing agenda committee. There are problems involved. I will try to see what those problems are. But I'd like a expression from you. I think this is simply, are you meeting as a community relations division with the team post members, as I get it? And if so, not for investigation purposes of cases and all of that. And if so, are you meeting with them to begin to resolve some conflicts which may exist between the team post as such and your division?
No, Mr. Chairman, do you want me to put this in the form of a motion? No, I would rather that you would.
Mr. Chairman, I say, Mr. Wise, at all, you're not directing the question to Mr. Wise. You're talking to the lieutenant.
I'm asking the lieutenant for an expression.
Yes, Carol. As I indicated before, Mr. Richards is basically running the team post. He has been, he has indicated to me that he was going to work with the team post. And when and if he does this, then we will certainly meet with him.
Have you been meeting with members of the team post?
Yes.
Are you beginning to get an understanding on some of the things they have been raising?
Yes.
This is what all we're really asking.
I do feel, as Julian does, that in order to give any kind of report, I have to have a little notice.
All right, we'll take up the procedure of the agenda committee, which seems to be having some problems. I didn't meet with them this week, neither did any other staff member, but there are some problems, and I'll see if I can go back and straighten it out. I was about to recognize Reverend Shavers.
Mr. Chairman, and all due respect to our city and county administrators, many of them that I know and respect, it reminds me of some of our past Congress sessions when we don't want to get to the main issue. We are not dialoguing. Who are we reporting to? The people that ought to hear these reports are not here. They are gone. And we fail to recognize this.
We're going to get to number four soon, MC.
That we should be directing our efforts and our energies to try to find out why these people walked out of this dialogue.
We're going to get to that in a minute, Reverend Davis. Hold up, please. Any other comments on number two? So we're going to number three. Progress report from... I don't know who was to make this report. At the last dialogue, you might recall, some specific requests were made from Charles Henderson, also of the Teen Post, regarding crossing lights and trees in southeast San Diego. Julian, do you know whether anything was done on this at all by any department or your office? Did your office receive any?
No.
Does anyone have any comment on number three at all?
Mr. Chairman.
Someone talked about the cost in the last time from the city. Yes.
Let's do it this way. Let me check it out and find out what departments are involved with it, and we'll get it.
All right. Report back by you?
Yeah.
Okay. Specifically, right?
On those two specific.
On those two. Okay.
The one's crossing lights and one's trees.
Trees, right.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make an observation here in the absence of the, the time that we have spent for this. I'd like to make this observation. First of all, for the press, I'm hoping that the press won't paint a distorted picture in this newspaper this afternoon. As someone said, I think as Dr. Duncan and Major Shaver said, that we don't want you to go out of here with the news to the people over the television and radio tonight that the black community are divided because we're still here. We're not divided on principle, we're divided on procedure. At this particular time, someone will have to stay here and hear what the reports are so we can get the information. All the messages didn't leave. Mike is still here. But we are together on principle. Now, it's easy for the newspaper to go out and destroy the whole dialogue with this thing that they're going to color, and they color it like they see it. But they're not seeing as it really is. And I want to get this information to them now while we are pausing here, because when they go counting heads that 50 black people walked out in 5 states, it's a division. It's not a division. And I want that clear in the minds of the news and everyone present here, because I am concerned, and I don't want us to not pass information, because what we dialogue here will be given to the black community, because I'm a part of it. But I'm the only free man in the black community. And Major Shavers, as a minister, the majority community is not supporting me. The black people support me. And I can say and act the way I want to act. And I'm going to try to act like a Christian gentleman. But I wanted that for the news.
You're going to try to act both of those things.
You mean you can't act like a Christian? Is that what you say?
I think that's a good comment for me to take a moment or two now and see if we can come to grips with what we saw happen here this morning and what's really at the core of all of this. And again, for almost a year, this continues to come up because it is at the heart of it. And this morning was simply an expression of those who feel strongly that it's a waste of dialogue. As Tom put it, to save the integrity of the dialogue, of the meaningfulness of the dialogue, this problem ultimately must be resolved. I'm going to take just a moment or two to try to interpret to you what has been, and I'll be summarizing, all the time, the crux of this matter. well stated by Matt Junkin this morning, Reverend Shavers, of course, Reverend Ostrich. In a nutshell, that if there are to be programs initiated by or conceived by public officials, and his report refers to many public agencies, it must be within a framework, so this interpretation goes, of a recognition that at the core of the problem is white racism, and every action should flow from that recognition. Which means then that if this recognition is at the basis for the action, there can be a way of measuring success or the lack of it with regard to those programs, and that we then have a common frame of reference to refer to at all times. And only when such programs are initiated or conceived within a full recognition and understanding and admitting that the core of the problem is white racism, only then can the programs be meaningful, and only then can a dialogue continue to exist that gives feedback to both black, white, brown, and others in terms of progress being made and steps being initiated to further define the problems that we're talking about at that moment and move on within the dialogue. Second point is equally important. Without that recognition, so this interpretation goes, and without admitting that that is the problem for which we assemble every 2 weeks, then all programs will continue as they have, and we continue to perpetuate the feelings, the hostilities, and the kind of lack of progress that has characterized the mood of the day presently. That's putting it on an academic high level. We'll get other expressions that zero in on the problem from persons around the hall. We did have this morning the group to express, and I have the document from which Tom read here in my hand, certain kinds of specific, I think he called them demands, I'm not sure. Well, there was more than this to the paper I handed over here. Well, we'll get that back. He stole it. Next time I'm going to put it in my pocket. He gave a specific request or demand. He delineated them clearly. The Mexican Americans added 6 specifics. Those specifics are, again, are expressions of their feelings that this dialogue, unless it is now ready to recognize specifically that the frame of reference must be, as they put it, from a standpoint of white racism, that those demands in themselves will not be meaningful. And to preserve the integrity of this dialogue, they're asking that we consider what they said. And every comment since then, as I've said several times, have really been talking to that point. Every comment really has raised the same question from number 1 through number 3. So I think we should this morning then look at ourselves and see what we're talking about and what they're saying, and figure out some way to examine ourselves with regard to this dialogue. I might add again, Tom is not saying in that document that the programs which have been enacted have not been good programs. He is not saying that at all. Neither were the Mexican Americans saying that. They're saying that the programs without a common frame of reference do not speak to that underlying problem. That's the way I put it. Others here can put it much better and differently. So let's start out. Jack?
Carol, it seems to me that what the dialogues have accomplished is at least the beginning of a communication between the black and the white and the brown community. This really has not happened before. And that's a plus thing. It gives an opportunity for people to really say how they feel about this society, this city, and the kinds of services, the kinds of attitudes that people have toward each other. That's a plus thing. On the other hand, I think what the group that walked out is saying is that acknowledging, and I'm not sure that everyone here has acknowledged it, I have, and I think most people have, that we do live in a racist society, and the Kerner Report, the President's Commission, has stated this very factually and has documented it. And one of the things I heard Tom Johnson say is that there needs to be the same kind of a inventory of our own community. What are we doing in relationship to what's happening in the national scene? Perhaps a little Kerner Commission in San Diego to take a look at what's going on and how we can translate public actions or public discussion into an action program to change the picture as it is right now. I heard Joe Vinson once say that I come from a generation of non-dialoguers. I'm tired of dialoguing. We want action. And I think this is what the group is saying. Now, this may not be the place where action can be taken. I think that the conception of the dialogue was that it would be a place where there would be communication established, where people can say what's going on, but I don't think we anticipated, at least at the beginning, that this was an action group. The group that walked out said, well, we want action, and if city officials and other people who have within them the power to affect change are not going to do anything with the things that they hear, then why bother to come and talk about it? And this is what I think they were saying, and I think it's something that we have to deal with.
May I use the chalkboard a minute to simply, for purposes of those who are not here, to simply put in diagram form what Jack said from the beginning, so we'll all be talking about the same point. Then let your fireworks start wherever you wish. But let's be sure we understand. If I may ask you to put your heads up over there somewhere, I'll try to diagram it. That this was considered to be a dialogue group here. This was a dialogue. We'll put some dial in it again. That here we were to go through the kinds of exercises here of understanding, sensitivity, whatever you want to call it, here. Sitting here were city officials, county officials, school officials, police officials, and all the others, which go back to their communities and their groups and their official positions. From the sensitivity and the new awareness that's gained here, the group felt back. The action would take place through their going back, initiating programs based on their new awarenesses and new learning that took place here. So on the one hand, we had the expectation of the minority community and others that the action would come from city, county, school, or the private businessmen who sit here, that there would then be feedback to this group which indicated to the group that some action had taken place.
Now, Mr. Chairman, let me interrupt right there.
Go ahead.
And keep this about perspective. Now, this is what happened this morning. This is where we are this morning. It's not a walkout. It's a recess until the city, the county, the schools, and all of the people in power can get themselves together and then come back and say, this is what we've done. This is what I thought the agenda was representing this morning, but it wasn't because nobody was aware of any participation at all when it was stated a month ago that this thing was to take place.
Yes.
And this is where we are now. These people now need to get together. The city, the county, the schools, the police department, all people that can take action. They've had representatives here for almost a year, and we've heard what should be done. Now, what we're saying now is that what are you doing? What can you do? And we can't do it here in dialogue because this is not an action group here. And this is the reason for the recess this morning, to give these groups an opportunity to go together and get themselves organized and come back with a report that's going to, well, not with a report, but with some action, some concrete evidence.
Come back to us here.
That's right.
Now, on the one hand, that would satisfy the minority, certainly those who walked out this morning, that all the actions suggested here would not be expected to be accomplished within a period of... just a minute, please.
Mr. Chairman, it's the terminology that Mr. Oxley is trying to make clear, and you're still using it, walkout. It was not a walkout.
Recess. Those who left is the way I was putting, not the noun, walkout. The recess this morning was based on that. That would have been satisfactory if the action each week was taking place out there in these official representative bodies. That's all on the one hand. The other purpose of the dialogue was that the communities, and I'm just going to make this plural, NAACP, MAC, MPAC, what have you, Black Student Conference, all of them would, on the other hand, go back to their groups, regroup, and assess that progress in terms of their feelings, their attitudes, and perform the other role that a group in the community must perform.
And not only that, Mr. Chairman, I'm not interrupting, I just want to tell you what the other picture is. When you decide what action you're going to take, we hope to have people ready to fill the various jobs that you're talking about, only this sheriff and then these other officers. We're going to find those people. We want to know if you're willing to accept them. If you can get them a job. No point in us calling a man from New Orleans in here to get ready for a job if we have to go that far. And then we get here to find out. We had it happen here with this Union Tribune, this paper thing.
I'm going to get to that in just a minute.
All right.
Now, these are the action groups on the other side of the coin, the community groups. Their official role in any community, democratic society, is that of, and we don't like this word many times, but this is the way it is. If they feel, for example, that the action is not coming sufficiently, then they apply whatever pressures they wish as an organization not to come back here, for example, wait till the next 2 weeks. They were then to take the action over to the groups and follow the kinds of suggestions, agendas, demands that they put on us here. They were community people. Then they come back and give us their assessment, just as these official groups come back and give us their assessment. The process then becomes meaningful when these groups come back here and report that such and such a thing did not happen, or it did not happen according to the rules we had established. Then we get to what Reverend Oxford just mentioned. Sitting down then, say, a scheduled meeting from this dialogue group could be set up out here so that if, for example, as he mentioned, they wish to know how to get qualified minorities, it happens then with city officials, county officials, or what have you, outside of here. They come together and work out, community, they work out methods by which these kinds of actions can continue. I'm giving you three steps there.
Yeah, now, Mr. Chairman, in this, I'm not buttoning now. I'm not doing the first thing.
You ask what you want, but it's all right.
All right, okay. Yeah.
All right.
Now, one resentment. You have two resentments present here. You have a resentment on the white power structure of being somewhat pressurized into doing something and telling them that they're racist and that. And they resent it. I know they resent it. And some of them unconsciously, but you resent it because I resent some things that you say about me. Secondly, the black community resent hand-picking some black man that you figure you can use. I made this clear, that you go out and pick a man that's a part of your structure and put him in there, which creates a method of techniques of hiring and so forth. But you put a black man in there which has no communication, no direct communication with the black community. And this is the trouble that this is the trouble that Harold Brown has run into in Africa. Africans are resenting it now, saying that the white man sent him over there to direct their path. And this is one of the major resentments in our whole of democracy, is that the Negroes, the majority of them that are chosen and placed in various jobs, I don't never like to use that term, Uncle Tom. But this is what they call
men named Tom.
Some men are named Tom. Yeah. Not Tom McJugger either.
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
But I mean, this is the other side of it, and we want to try to clear up all the atmosphere in here so we can know what we're talking about. And I think that this might be helpful to the people who can affect change.
All right, let me then finish my comments by saying, ultimately, all we've been talking about is the process by which you involve people, the process by which you involve the people who are going to be affected. And when we say that from here, if there's a need to get employees, black, brown, or yellow, or blue, or purple, it's the method, the appointments that have come up, the way things are done, they're really saying from here, We are suggesting certain methods. The process is important. It usually boils down to the dignity. All those things we've gone over here, we don't have to go over those. The point is that from here, then a meeting would be set up Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whenever you meet, with those people from the community and the public officials. Not here. It could be scheduled here. Set up here to work out those things that are bothering the minority. And in every case we have talked about here, it is method and technique, not the act itself. If we're going to then talk about it, let's keep it in its proper perspective. The group this morning was talking about recognition of an underlying cause that's been recognized in our society and given a national debate, white racism, and the methods by which our public officials in the city of San Diego address themselves to the problem. Now, if we keep it in that perspective, we can go on and talk. Back over here first, two, and then three.
Mr. Raymond, you mentioned method. Is anyone here prepared to tell us the methods that the official used to keep us from getting jobs?
We've gone through that, yes.
You've been out before the public and said when a Negro applied for a job, we use this method to keep him from becoming
employed. We'll keep your question before.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You want to respond to that?
Anyone can tell me the method that you use, because I've applied for jobs in many places and I'm familiar with the method.
Did you want to respond to that?
I keep hearing the words white racism. I see it on the agenda here, and I heard Tom Johnson ask for an official statement on white racism. This dialogue spent a lot of time discussing a definition of the term racism. Agreed on one. The city of San Diego made an official statement on racism. And we refuse to qualify it white or black. We refuse to discuss the term white racism because we're convinced there's also black racism. I also would comment that this dialogue is not adjourned or recessed. We're still here. It's 11:15. I've been here since 9:30. It's not recessed. I consider what happened this morning a walkout. I consider it evidence of black racism in this community.
Mr. Chairman, this is what I was speaking a moment ago, resentment. You see, he's taking it personal. And it's a natural reaction to take it personal. I know he's taking it personal, but being a city official as part of the power structure, I think he's doing injustice to the city to make a statement, a public statement like this. And I think that statement should be recorded in the press. They should take note of this thing, that Julian Wise...
I'm sure it will.
They're taking notes now. That's what you're doing.
Well, remember, we laid down the rule that he's speaking for himself.
I said Julian Wise. I said Julian Wise.
He's not speaking for me.
I know.
He's just making his comment as a participant in
the dialogue. That's all. I don't understand comments.
I think it's the word we.
I think it's ridiculous that people refuse to talk, and that's what happened this morning. And I wonder if it's going to continue. I wonder if these people intend to come back for regularly scheduled dialogue 2 weeks from today.
Well, you have enough figures to affect change.
Chairman, Dr. Raymond Nelson, Small Business Administration. My statement is very short. I represent a federal agency that recognizes the fact that there is white racism, and we're trying to do something about it. We're trying in our agency, not only here but elsewhere, to do the fullest extent, we'll try to provide the services for which we were created. We have not had, unfortunately, the best image in our community. This we are striving, fighting to do. Our prime objective, of course, in the area of business administration, business management, and of course in business loans and this type of thing. There has come some resentment, people don't understand the program and whatnot. But one thing I'd want to satisfy this group in San Diego is the fact that our agency, from a federal level, is ridden by somebody's riding on our shoulders to be sure that we do the proper thing. And I thought possibly this might help the whole situation and create even a better atmosphere for us as one of the few agencies of the federal government in this area dealing with money and this type of operation, because I have by my side here an official who is one of the chief compliance officers in the federal government and Small Business Administration, who happens to be out here in San Diego at the moment investigating one allegation of discrimination.
Of course, we feel that we'll weather this storm, and we're not discussing that here, but the point is, we've had a simple, a single instance that this has happened, and before we the ink got dry on the man's demands or his complaint in Washington, the guy is sitting right here. Now, if there's anything you'd like to ask him to have any assurances that FDA is going to do the very type of thing they're going to do to get any opportunities to the community leaders or any of these people who are probably bringing pressure to all governmental agencies to have us do more with their cooperation, we will do anything within reason and in the scope of our general program to make these services available to the fullest extent. I want to give you that as a personal assurance from my agency. So here's a guy sitting right here that, by golly, if you want to ask him a question, I'll stand ready to put him at your
own. We'd like to, but I'm afraid we'll get off of those tomorrow.
Because I just wanted to possibly see a statement from the federal, government that they're looking over our shoulders to see that we do not transgress or that we do not go to the fullest extent of the work that we are set here to do. We're striving awful hard to do that work, and we're not perfect, as you realize. But we're certainly working toward perfection. And Alan is here if you want to ask a question.
If there are questions, lady, you'd like to direct to Mr. Allen, be great. They'll be entertained. I would not want to get off of this that we started here. I see other hands, and we have to get around. You were next.
Could I make one statement and then read two paragraphs?
You can start reading your paragraph.
Okay, there's no black problem in this nation. The problem is a white problem, not a black problem. And the white problem exists because the white man doesn't know what to do when the black man refuses to stay in the inferior place that the white man has created for him. And I'd like to read from Cora, and this gets back even further than method. It's an act, the actual anti-poverty program. The court says the result is always the same. In Bedford to Vesson or somewhere, that's when it pays 2,000 Negroes a week and persuades them not to see the conditions of the other 380,000 blacks in their community. Hoping the intolerable conditions will go away. We, the poverty workers, accept our checks while the infant mortality rate rises, while our black children graduate from high school fit only for a life of delinquency and crime in order to exist. Agencies train our youth for jobs which will not exist in coming years. And the black man says, we don't care to make any money. We want our community to survive. And that's, back to the anti-poverty program.
All right. Let's get back to this if we can. Follow?
I think that somebody ought to define some terms. Particularly, I'm addressing myself to Mr. Wise's statement. When you make the statement white racism, I think we've already defined it in here. It refers to an attitude generally held in a community which defines people's worth in terms of the races to which they belong. It allows you to take as normal, a normal state of affairs, various kinds of discrimination. It enables you to see things out of order in a community. It enables you to go in the airport, for example, like we did some months ago, see no Negroes and go to your plane feeling that everything's all right. You can do this because you have been socialized in a community where it's taken for granted. The reason the president's report addressed itself to white racism rather than to racism generally, of course that's black racism. Who in the United States doesn't know this? It's because in this country, power is in the hands of white people. Black people have racist attitudes, of course they do. But they are ineffective when it comes up to this time, when it comes to doing any damage to other people. Now, only one other thing ought to be said about white racism, and Carol and I disagree here, and that is that when an attitude like this actually permeates the community, it might be held also to some extent by people who themselves are black. And this is why, if you look carefully enough at San Diego, you'll find discrimination in areas under the control of black people. How on earth can you explain it? It's because they too have come to accept this distorted view of the worth of people. And one more thing I want to say now, I know it's too long. You said that the city council adopted a statement on racism. This was not the case. What they actually said was, there has never been, or since 1932 or some other ancient time, there has not been racism here. When what we were asking was that you say what the Turner report said, there is here today racism, and let's get started to trying to do something about it.
I agree with your statement, Tom. I don't disagree on what you thought I would disagree with. I think it's absolutely so. Well,
Carol, the time is getting short, and I've never spoken at your dialogue before. But I assume that Tom Johnson has synthesized in 6 points what the items that the Negro community feels needs specific and direct attention to in order to overcome the problems that we have. So I move that the 6 points mentioned by Tom Johnson and the points mentioned by the Mexican-American representative, and some of those can be combined, be adopted by this group as a program which it would direct its attention to from here on out, with periodic progress reports through your office, the methods and techniques, if this motion is adopted, to be discussed, and so forth. And this is my motion, that we adopt this as a program. Whether it's right or wrong or good or bad or all that, this then would be the center around which the dialogue would hereafter revolve, because evidently this is the synthesis of what the problem is in this community as the Negro and Mexican American community.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to second that motion.
You heard the motion and seconded that this, if I get the intent right, becomes the format for us here to dialogue, to address ourselves to, with progress reports. He didn't fill out by whom, but I suppose he means by the public officials here made. Techniques and methods to be worked out by my office and other offices. Did I capture what you were saying? You said,
I think I'm sure.
It's been seconded. Unrelated, Ms. Favors? Please second it.
Unrelated.
No, let's have a discussion here.
Let's have a discussion. Let me discuss too. I'm unready for that motion because people, not everybody, I know Tom McJunkin, does not support the recommendations that Tom Johnson made. I support only his assertion that racism is a problem in San Diego. But he went into and talked about reorganizing many agencies. I do not support what he said specifically. And I most certainly don't support, I'd like to see a copy of it. I don't support all the things he said about changes in the school system. I work for the school system. I don't feel that all of these changes are necessarily grew out of what he said. So far as adopting his statement on racism, that's what I've been trying to do. But the specifics that he named, I wasn't supporting him.
His whole point is that we should address ourselves to racism.
Well, not to those specifics.
Yeah.
What is
racism? Well, racism is one point in this, and if we adopted this as a program, if this is item number one, then we would address ourselves to item number one and do something about it. We've been talking about, we keep repeating ourselves, and we all are aware now of the various newspaper reports and the various feelings that people have. But I think the feeling that I get here is that now that we know these things and we've talked about them a year, let's start picking them apart and do something constructively towards solving the problems that exist as he has stated them.
Supervisor?
It's not clear to me, and I'm sure it's not clear to a lot of the people around the dialogue as to what those points are. And I wouldn't want to vote on it until I had them prepared by the staff and presented to us for some study. And there's a motion on the floor, but I would like to amend the motion to continue this on the agenda and that we be presented with the list of these things so we can study them. Now, I don't want to vote on something that I heard here and a motion presented to us and without some study on it. And this is what I'd like to make an amendment to the motion, that the staff present us in writing these different suggestions by Mr. Johnson and by the members of the Mexican-American staff.
You're suggesting that we print these up and get them out.
And get them for our next dialogue and put them on our agenda for the next dialogue.
The maker of the motion, he had offered an amendment to your motion. You have a reaction?
Well, I think the body here is, should react rather than I. I have no objection to any of them. As long as it progresses towards the ultimate, my ultimate goal, however we carry this out. I was not saying that we formally approve these statements or that we accept them as true. I'm saying that since these are the things that are, let's say, the cancer, let's operate.
Yeah, well, but he added an amendment, and you made most. Maker of that motion.
I have no objection to that.
All right, over here.
Yes, I think there's another thing that perhaps should be clarified before the next meeting. The first item that Tom's mentioning in his statements of things to consider had to do with white racism and the frame of reference in which we were. We did hear a statement by Julian, which Ed reminded us was made just by him as an individual. But if in that statement it did say that we at the city refuse to discuss white racism, I think we should find out if that is a stance of the city, if that is a policy of the city, and throughout the city body, if it is going to be a policy to not discuss white racism, then I believe this dialogue looks to grow that, because I believe that establishes the basis definitely for whether or not the dialogue even goes on, because the dialogue says we must start from the standpoint of white racism. And the city says we refuse to discuss white racism.
Carol, let me clarify.
You use the pronoun we, which let me clarify that before we walk.
My point is that the subject of racism is the subject. Now, if you want to further break that down into white racism and black racism, I think that's acceptable. But I think you have to, this dialogue has to do both. It cannot zero in on white racism. If it's zeroed in on a subject, such as racism, that's fine. If it wants to break that into white racism and black racism, that's fine. But not white racism by itself as a definition of the problem in fact, which is what Tom Johnson said.
Your pronoun we, would you give us some reaction to the pronoun we versus the pronoun I?
That's an editorial we by habit of a journalist.
It is not referring to the city official's position.
I don't think any of us refer to the organization around the table.
We're
all reacting individually, Carol.
You're speaking all individually.
If you can separate them.
Well, it's important, you see, that else we in a bag. And if you meet on individually, we'll accept
he
that.
He may be in a bag. I ain't going to be in there with him.
I think his remark is just as bad as saying the Negro. He's using a general mark, and so many people speak of the Negro as a composite individual, as a composite, instead of using the word Negro. Now, I think he's fallen into the trap, and really, he's just showing that he is biased. He's thinking that he's speaking for the majority of white individuals, and in reality, he probably is.
All those in favor, you've heard the amendment to the motion.
I have to make a parliamentary procedure because you ain't giving me a chance.
I'm sorry.
I think that the walkout of our friends...
Be reset.
That the walkout of our friends this morning dramatically illustrated the fact that we are now at a point in the dialogue where we've got to stop and take a look at what was said and where we're going to go. And it's now a time for recapitulation. And I think that Tom Johnson and Mick Junkins over here have expressed it very adequately. And it seems to me what now needs to be done is that a group of us fall back, look at what we've done, look at what needs to be done, recapitulate on some giant psychiatric couch if you want to, the point at which we're now at on this thing, and then figure out the action vehicle through which the action program ought to go. This is not that kind of a vehicle. And as I said the last time, stated the purpose of the dialogue. He is, that is me speaking, now able to say he's a racist. This is a racist society. He felt we had conceded this. The purpose of this is how now do we implement it? And I would amend the motion or whatever motions need to be amended to state that our next agenda, this next dialogue, would put on the agenda solely a recapitulation of the posture that the dialogue is now at and a statement of the direction that things ought to go, and to invite our friends to come back from their walkout and once again let us reason together about the agenda.
I don't think that necessarily needs an amendment unless you want to put it into an amendment form.
Unreaded. Yeah, I just wanted to bring the point up. You've already passed the body that there were several other things to report you're going to make on the next agenda, so this can't be the sole situation.
Well, I would suggest this will be the sole one.
But not the sole one, because you've already agreed to hear two reports.
I was going to get back. We also listed one to be number one on that next agenda.
I'd like to support Mr. Butler. I think he's absolutely right that we're at the crossroads, and perhaps there are some unrealistic expectations of what the dialogue can do. I think we ought to deal with these, and I think we're also ready, maybe as a community, to set up a group outside of the dialogue that can take many of the suggestions and ideas and take a look at the city and the county in terms of what's happening nationally and come up with an action program, because there isn't any focal point at the moment for this kind of a program. It seems significant to me that the group is presenting its demands. We're talking about the schools, we're talking about the police department, we're talking about a number of different agencies, and the only place they could present that was to this group. They'd have to go to five or six different agencies. It seems to me that perhaps the time has come when the city and the county the community leadership can get together and maybe appoint a blue ribbon group to take a look at this community in terms of the problems we have and what we ought to do about it, and then make their recommendations where they belong.
Good night.
What we have just heard is kind of a shift from your original motion, but motion is still on the floor. We have another
unregistered. Mr. Chairman, I'm caught in somewhat of a parliamentary bind here. Certainly not an expert. What are we going to do with the motion that concerning the Tom Johnson's document here? I agree with Mr. Dent, possibly that an alternative here would be a study of these requests. And certainly we get around and cover this thing up and never speak lightly to the issue, the thing that's bugging all of us. And I think Tom expressed the thing that's concerning the black and brown community. And we don't want to skirt around them and talk all about other things and never get to the center of the action, what we are trying to accomplish here in San Diego, so that all of the citizens can be proud of the fact that they are San Diegans.
All right, the question's been called for. Did you have another
amendment? Not on the question. Not on the issue.
We'll get back to that then. Let me recapitulate before we call for the actual hand showing. There was an idea that what Tom was saying was that he wishes, along with the Mexican Americans, that this body addresses itself to the question of racism, as mentioned by Tom Johnson, as opposed to the added specifics. Your motion now is really regarding the specifics, as well as the one mentioned about racism, so that we vote on the right thing. We're now going to call for the vote on the motion made here, that this list be, with the amendment, be circulated, printed up and circulated, and brought back here and be adopted as the official agenda for this next meeting. Captured well enough?
I move to amend that motion to the effect that the list will be circulated, but that the agenda for the next meeting shall include the subject that Reverend Shavers wants to be discussed and Mr. Junkins wants to be discussed, the central issue of racism, then the vehicle through which action may be implemented, which is not this dialogue. Now, that motion to amend takes precedent over the main motion. If
correct.
It's seconded.
Second. Very good. You're very good.
The amendment in effect says that the amendment says, so everyone understands, the amendment that was just made by Ed Buffer says, in a nutshell, that in addition to the items he mentioned, that this comes back as what should the action vehicle be. Is that correct?
No, that the entire subject of the next dialogue discussion will be a recapitulation of what we are, centered around what Tom Johnson said before he took a walk, and what Mr. McJunction's been saying here, and to invite our brothers to come back and reason with us to get at the dialogue so that we can then figure out where to go from here.
All that is part of the amendment.
Right.
You've heard the amendment. You've heard the amendment. All in favor of the amendment as stated. May I hear the side aye?
Aye.
All opposed to the amendment? Now we vote on the question. All in favor of the motion as made, to which the amendment was made, may I hear the side aye?
Aye.
All opposed? Now we'll go through the minutes and it's passed. We'll go through the minutes and get all that straight somehow. Yes, his amendment was, that's what he was saying, it includes the amendment. Here's an important point. The amendment included inviting the people, extending the minimization, to come back while we take a recapitulation of ourselves in terms of both racism and the action vehicle, as mentioned by Jack and him.
In effect, so far as I'm concerned, I'm agreeing with what was said here. It's time to focus back on this.
Sure. Yes. Now, we have something else in front of us, and we'll get out of here. A few minutes ago, we said that the next dialogue would have as its first agenda item number one. That's in the present agenda, right?
Yes, that we are getting into.
Right. But we want to be sure we understand here. On the agenda for today, it's progress report on civil service examination, Mayor Frank Kern. We agreed a few minutes ago that should be the first item on the next week's agenda. Inasmuch as we've just had a motion to put this other on the agenda, what is your feelings about what we agreed upon a few minutes ago?
Chairman, I move that we reconsider and not have the mayor's report on the agenda for the next time.
Make up the motion withdrawn. Withdrawn. The motion is withdrawn. At this time, the next week, the agenda will be as stated in the motion. You have a question that's confusing? Let me clarify tonight.
The mayor submitted to you in written form and it could accompany the agenda.
Well, because we get into it, and they're saying this other is the agenda. We can't have both, in other words. We kind of join. Thank you for coming for until two weeks from now.
Hi, Robert.
How are you doing?